Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and I am talking with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. We're recording this program right after the election, and we've got some exciting results.
A huge show today. I urge everyone to stay tuned for segment number two. You're going to hear actually Bill Mayer sounding like a Republican, and he's calling out the millennials and the younger generation for not understanding that just because they didn't see communism themselves doesn't mean it's not bad. And so stay tuned for that. Also, a report coming in from Portland from our roving reporter, Derek Underhill, who saw that they're complaining they don't have any tourism. We'll talk about that. But most of today's show is going to be the election, so let's jump right in.
Okay, so is it that things are going so well in Albuquerque that they decided to reelect the mayor? You know, they had two homicides on Election Day.
I think that people are very frustrated in Albuquerque. I just think that they didn't see the alternative there. And Mayor Keller had a lot more money to spend than the others. So he won. Also, the mayor in Santa Fe won. In New Mexico, it was pretty much a mix for us. We defeated one of the progressive Democrats on the Albuquerque City Council, Dan Lewis, again, former councilor there, was reelected into his old seat. That was great. We put two Republicans into runoffs in the Albuquerque City Council races. One of those was already above 40%. She just needs a little bit more to get there. If we win both of those, we'll have a majority in the Albuquerque City Council for the first time in a long time. So even in New Mexico, there are some of the signs that we saw across the country last night.
Speaking of across the country, your thoughts on Virginia?
It's bigger than Virginia. It was basically a sweep across the entire country. The red wave was everywhere. Of course, we took all the three statewide seats in Virginia. That's been a decade or two since that has happened. But then, for instance, a Socialist Democrat in Buffalo, New York, running for re-election. Republicans put up a write-in candidate and won with the write-in candidate because people are fed up with the progressive left policies. The down-ballot races in Virginia went heavily to Republicans. In Minneapolis, the anti-cop referendum failed even in Minneapolis. Then in typically very, very blue New Jersey, the count is still going on. A couple of weeks ago, the Democrat was up by 14 points. And across the nation, as voters get closer to Election Day, they start choosing which direction they want to go. 66% of Americans feel like America's headed the wrong direction. That means they're going to vote for Republicans because the Democrats control everything. And so we are seeing that. But let's talk a little bit more about that race in Virginia. Glenn Youngkin, the Republican, was relatively unknown running against a former governor, a Democrat governor, Terry McAuliffe. McAuliffe was pretty popular, running way ahead in the polls. And then he made that statement that said parents don't have the right to influence their child's education. And so what we saw on election night is parents said we definitely do have the right to influence our child's education, and we're going to vote you all out, you people who believe that. Another thing that really was proved out on election night is that inflation is real, and it's hurting families. People are struggling to make ends meet. They've lost the value of any pay raises that they got. But then the third thing I think that was playing out is that it reassured the American people that this America First mentality is one that people are hungry for. People rejected Trump in the last election a lot because of his style. But now they're seeing with buyer's remorse that Joe Biden is selling out America. And they're saying that, no, we kind of like it where our jobs are plentiful, where we have better pay, where we have lower inflation, where the border is secure. And so that's what you saw. But in Virginia, let's take a look at it. So you have basically an unknown running for governor. You've got the first black female was Republican running as lieutenant governor. But you had a Cuban-American running to be the first Latino of either party to win as attorney general. All three of those swept on election night, and that hasn't happened since probably 20 years ago. It's been a long time ago. That's how hard this pendulum is swinging right now. And, of course, many believe that it's going to continue swinging back towards the Republicans all the way through the election cycle of next year. Now, it's one thing for the first black lieutenant governor to be elected, but she's also a wife. She's also a mother. She's also a businesswoman. But most notable of all, the first Marine ever elected to a lieutenant governor position in Virginia. And so a lot of firsts that are taking place there.
You wonder if she was elected because she's black or just because she had the right message. Maybe skin color isn't counting so much anymore.
I absolutely would agree with you that she won because of their value system. People are looking for normal, wholesome, everyday Americans, and they're finding it on the Republican side, and they're not finding it on the Democrat side. So, again, the election last night is sending shockwaves through the Democrat Party. Now, one of the things that is playing out across the country as we consider these elections is that for 40 years, the Republicans were forbidden by court order. A federal judge 40 years ago issued a court order that said Republicans can't be involved in poll watching, poll challenging, none of those things that have to do with ballot security. So the Democrats basically had a free run of the entire election process, and they built up a lot of, we'll say, shady practices. Now that Republicans are able to be there at the counting tables, they're able to be in as poll watchers and poll challengers, they're stopping many of the things that would have gone on before. And so I expect that we're going to continue to see this trend for the ballot security to become more prevalent and to be a better issue for Republicans. You know, all people, it doesn't matter if they're Democrat, Republican, or Independent, all people polled that they're not so concerned with who wins. They just want elections to be fair. They want them to be representative. They've seen the communist countries. They've seen the socialist countries where the thumb is on the scale and the preferred candidate wins. Even in some of the countries like Venezuela, sometimes you'll have a candidate win with 100% of the vote. Well, you know that's not possible, but that's what happens when you don't have fair elections. And so this move that Republicans are involved in now for the first time in 40 years, saying we're going to have fair and free elections, is sending shockwaves through the system. So not only do you have a rejection of the values of the left, but you also have this new discipline at the ballot box. And so that's a very important lesson to take away from last night. One of the big pickups for Republicans was in suburban women. Those voted heavily against Trump, but they were one of the major deciding votes. But also it's looking like the Republican got 55% of the Hispanic vote to 44% for Terry McAuliffe. Now, that also is sending shockwaves through the political system. Democrats have known that they could take a lot of their voters for granted in the past. And now then nationwide, Hispanics are standing up saying, no, I'm not going to be a socialist Democrat. I'm going to be a conservative Republican. So that's what played out there. Now, the Democrats tried to run the election the same way they did last year. They tried to fuel the anger against Trump and tried to link the Republicans to Trump. Now, anger can be very useful in a political cycle, but also anger is a fleeting ally. It will take off and leave sooner than you can imagine. And so the Democrats, in trying to stoke that anger again, people said, wait, we heard that 2 years ago. We heard it a year ago. Now then we're watching what y'all are trying to do to the country, and we're going to vote against you. So the ploy by the Democrats to link everyone to Trump just didn't work. What did sway the public are the radical policies of the left, and that's the message of all from last night. Now, in addition to Virginia, New Jersey is always a strong blue state. Biden won that state by 16 points, and just a couple of weeks ago, the Republican was down significantly. Last night, most of the night, the Republican was running well ahead, but there's still about 30% of the vote left out there to count. So the RNC, being much more active in ballot security, sent 20 lawyers into that state to watch the count and recounts if necessary. Even if the Democrat is eventually declared to be the winner, it is a major loss for the Democrats to be this close in a state that just a year ago was so heavily in favor of Joe Biden and now rejecting him almost completely. One of the things that played out in Virginia, now we're saying that the Republican has won, but technically the race has not been called yet. Terry McAuliffe has not conceded. But for the first time ever, again, keep in mind, 40 years, the Republicans could not even mention the words ballot security, or a judge would come down and disavow entire candidates' races. And so what has happened now then for the first time in 40 years, the Democrats are still counting in their counties, but all the Republican counties have finished counting, but they have not reported on 10% of their precincts. And so the Democrats don't know how many votes they need to get. You remember Yvette Harrell 2.5 years ago. She was up significantly on election night, but the counts were stopped. And then the next morning, magically, enough ballots appeared to where it declared a winner other than Yvette Harrell. That's what the Democrats do. But now Republicans are playing a very careful game, holding their ballots back so the other side doesn't know exactly how many votes they need. As the race entered the midnight hour last night, there were only about 150,000 ballots out, and the lead for Youngkin was about 100,000. So Terry McAuliffe was going to have 70% of the outstanding ballots. That just almost never occurs in any system. Plus, with the Republicans holding their ballots, there's just almost no way that he's got the votes. Now, that doesn't mean they won't do extraordinary things, and we want to watch for that always. But, you know, it's not just those two states. In Ohio, there's a brand new newcomer to politics. Was elected to a congressional seat, a special election to replace a friend of mine, Steve Stivers, who resigned and became, I think, the chamber director for the state. And the Republican won that by almost 20 points. In Pennsylvania, there were three judgeships that were decided last night. All three of those judgeships went to Republicans. In New York, there was a clean sweep in Long Island. There are Republican attorneys general who are being elected because people are frightened of the crime. They see what's happening in their cities, and they're saying, wait, we just want somebody that'll make us safe. And so even in New York, we found a heavy swing towards Republican. There was a new seat that was just recently created in New York for the Supreme Court, and Republicans won that seat. Again, as we mentioned in the opening, the Minneapolis voters rejected that ballot provision. It basically was going to stop the police department. They were going to reorganize and call it something friendly and just a security detail or something like that. I'm sorry, we need people who are hardened police officers to deal with the criminals who are killing and stealing and looting. Then in Texas, there was a young man named John Lujan, Hispanic Republican. He flipped one of the House district seats there that has been a liberal Democrat for decades, and he won by 14 points. 78% of that district are Hispanic voters. And so when he flipped that again, that's just one more telltale sign that things are going very badly for the Democrats. In New Hampshire, there was a mayor's race where the Democrat mayor was unseated by a Republican, the first time since 2005 that a Republican has won there. So we see these signs all across the nation that things are beginning to fall apart for Joe Biden and his leftist trend for the country. But again, an amazing night on the election night. As we look forward to the elections in 2022, people are saying this is just a precursor of what's going to happen next year.
Steve Pierce and I will be back in the third segment, but coming up next, we'll hear from Bill Maher. That's right, on Inside New Mexico.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. Many of you are familiar with Bill Maher. He's a comedian, talk show host, political commentator. Used to do a late night show called Politically Incorrect on Comedy Central. Now he does Real Time with Bill Maher on HBO. Generally not friendly to conservative values. I never thought I would see the day where I would agree with Bill Maher's commentary. However, that day has come. Check this out.
In India, young people touch old people's feet to show reverence. Japan has a national holiday called Karonohi, Respect for the Aged Day. You know the reason why advertisers in this country love the 18 to 34 demographic? Because it's the most gullible. Yeah. A third of people under 35 say they're in favor of abolishing the police, not defunding, but doing away with a police force altogether, which is less of a policy position and more of a leg tattoo. 36% of millennials think it might be a good idea to try communism. But much of the world did try it. I know millennials think that doesn't count because they weren't alive when it happened. But it did happen. And there are people around who remember it. Pining for communism is like pining for Betamax or MySpace. So when you say, you're old, you don't get it. Get what? Abolish the police and the border patrol and capitalism and cancel Lincoln? No, I get it. The problem isn't that I don't get what you're saying or that I'm old. The problem is that your ideas are stupid. If you say, let's eat in the bathroom and shit in the kitchen, yeah, that's a new idea. But I wouldn't call it interior design. You think someone 80 is hopeless because they can't use an iPhone? Maybe the one who's hopeless is the one who can't stop using it. You think I'm out of it because I'm not on Twitch? Well, maybe I get Twitch, but I just think people watching other people play video games is a waste of f***ing time. Twenty percent of Gen Z agree with the statement, society would be better off if all property was owned by the public and managed by the government. And another 29% say they don't know if that's a good idea. Here's who does know. Anyone who wasn't born yesterday.
There were many protests around the country after the killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis, Minnesota, back in May of 2020. One of the more notable protests was in Portland, Oregon, when Black Lives Matter and Antifa took over a part of the city, including a police station. When President Trump offered to send federal troops to restore order, Mayor Wheeler of Portland said this, "We don't need your politics or division and demagoguery. Portlanders are on to you. We have already seen your reckless disregard for human life in your bumbling response to the COVID-19 pandemic. And we know you've reached the conclusion that images of violence or vandalism are your only ticket to re-election." Those comments there from the mayor of Portland. Now we jump ahead to November 2021 and we find there are consequences for bad behavior, as Portland businesses are complaining they've seen a huge drop in tourism, with the streets still marred by the riots and homelessness and crime on the rise. Listen to this report from KGW TV Channel 8 in Portland.
When many of us think of Portland, world-class restaurants, breathtaking scenery, and Soccer City, USA come to mind. The problem, for a lot of others, this is what they think of. Civil unrest, public safety issues, and homelessness. At least that's what a recent tourism report by Travel Portland revealed. The agency presented its findings to Portland commissioners earlier this week.
Here's the problem. Around the world, too many people associate Portland with homelessness and homicide.
Commissioner Mingus Maps is the city's tourism liaison. Like most commissioners, he was not surprised by the findings.
Today, a significant chunk of humanity is afraid of spending time and money in our city.
Portland's specific issues related to civil unrest and public safety concerns has exacerbated the negative occurrences of declining attendance and group cancellations.
That's Travel Portland president and CEO Jeff Miller. According to the city, in 2019, tourism supported about 36,000 jobs in the Portland metro area. In 2020, about 10,000 of those jobs disappeared, along with a lot of business.
Just doesn't seem like it's a safe situation for a lot of people.
Donald Kenny is owner of Spirit of 77, which depends a lot on tourism, especially from the nearby convention center. He worries what the pandemic plus Portland's not-so-pretty image will mean for business.
If there's a lot less people coming for conventions, that's a real impact to our business.
In the most recent iteration of this study, Portland has declined to the lowest levels of being a likely destination for delegates to attend the conference.
Miller says many conventions aren't wanting to come back to Portland, and it will likely take years for the city to convince them to come back.
All right. Well, it wasn't uplifting, but I didn't expect it to be.
Mayor Ted Wheeler says the city is committed to addressing the public safety and homeless concerns. But until it does, it might have to put on hold some of its traditional bragging rights.
We're not ready for marketing. I'm not saying stop your marketing, but right now people don't buy it.
Keely Chalmers, KGW News.
Steve Pierce and I will be back in our next segment to talk about what the Democrats might do to turn things around next time on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
We are back on Inside New Mexico with our chairman of the Republican Party, Steve Pierce. Steve, it does seem like in the November 2nd election, people around the country largely voted against progressive policies.
One of the things that the Democrats have to decide is, what are they going to do? Now, back when Bill Clinton won his election in the first midterm, he was surrounded by leftists and people who were like the ones surrounding Joe Biden today. Clinton selected Dick Morris to come in and steer the course of the country back to the center. They did welfare reform. They did major, major movements to fix things that for years had been problems. And that let Bill Clinton be reelected in his next term for president. The Democrats right now, they show no signs of letting up. If they continue to push this $3.5 trillion package, if they continue to say they're going to raise taxes, if they continue to let inflation run rampant, if they continue to leave the border open, if they continue to turn their head and leave Americans and American allies in Afghanistan, you're going to see even worse results for Democrats in the next election. If they, in fact, change their course and start acting like Republicans, then they won't suffer the catastrophic failures that they suffered in the elections that have just concluded. So all in all, it has played out very strongly for Republicans and very badly for Democrats.
And speaking of the Democrats, here's a press release as we're recording this the day after the election. It says, yesterday, voters across the land of enchantment ushered in a new wave of elected officials with progressive Democrat values. Notice they don't say Democrat values. They say progressive Democrat values. Candidates across New Mexico emphasize the importance of continuing to improve our education system, investing in jobs, lowering the cost of living, and expanding the state's economy following the COVID-19 pandemic, a platform that has been wholeheartedly endorsed by New Mexico voters. I guess they assume if they say it, it must be true. But the cost of living is skyrocketing in New Mexico. Have you bought gas lately? Our schools are some of the worst in the country. And the only reason the state has the money it does is because of the oil and gas industry, and they want to get rid of that.
And that's going to be the determining factor of how this election plays out for next year. If the Democrats have that mindset, then they're going to suffer catastrophically again next year. And that suffering is going to take place in New Mexico. This cycle, it did not take place. But I will guarantee you, with all House seats up, I think Republicans can take the House. And I think that Republicans will beat Michelle Lujan Grisham. The referendums yesterday for governors across the nation, those are a precursor to what's going to happen to Michelle Lujan Grisham in her reelection bid. Now, one final thing before we go. Joe Biden went over to be with the G20. That's the world's 20 largest economies. Now, not all of those are oil-producing countries. But keep in mind that the price of gasoline under Trump was $1.89. Now it's up around $4, even higher in some places. And it's that way because Joe Biden has shut down production. He has caused regulatory delays in permitting. He's shut off the lease sales. He is doing things which are driving the price of energy higher, and it's going to even go higher still. But he's over at the G20 asking other nations to produce more oil so that he can get the price of gasoline down in the U.S. He is the architect of the high price of gasoline, and yet he's over there pleading for others to solve his problem. If he just came to New Mexico and opened up the taps, we could get lower energy prices, lower gasoline prices for all of America. We have that much oil in the ground. We're finding tremendous reserves that we never knew we had. And yet Joe Biden is shutting that down. So we will see how he succeeds in convincing the rest of the world to pay his dues for him. If fossil fuels are bad, why is he saying others should do the bad things rather than us? Man up, Joe. Let's go ahead. And if you got to have more oil, just say it publicly and let's get out there and get after it. Don't go pleading with your friends across the world to do your dirty work for you. This is it for today's program. Again, we give thanks to our local radio stations. They air this free of charge. And always, we ask that you call in and tell your radio station owners and managers, thank you for caring inside New Mexico.
Thank you, Steve. If you've been listening to our conversation with Steve Pierce, the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, and would like to find out more, contact the Republican Party of New Mexico by going to the website at newmexico.gop. The party also has a Facebook page and a Twitter account. The handle is at newmexicogop. If you'd like to talk to someone in person, call party headquarters at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill. We look forward to meeting with you again next week, right here on Inside New Mexico.